Hello, this is Grace Hayes, and you're listening to Up in the Mix.
Welcome to another edition of Up in the Mix, coming to you hot from the Honeycomb Hideout. This is Sean, a.k.a. The Truth, a.k.a. The Super Nicest, a.k.a. The Anar, Mr. R, a.k.a. Not the Black Dude You Thought I Was.
This is Caesar, a.k.a. De La Foto, your favorite neighborhood Mexican, Ernesto, Captain Culo, Coach, Mr. Brunch, the local, also that Bobby with the dad body, the brown man in the yacht club.
How the fuck did he get here?
El Hombre de la Gente, the habitual line crosser, the honey badger, the fucking baby whisperer, and tracksuit Bobby.
And we are back this week with a fresh episode. Yeah, it feels like it's been a while, but it hasn't. It's just been 1 week, right?
1 week, yeah. We did a couple ourselves, you know, to get, you know, because it's good just to, just us two.
Reconnecting with our roots.
Mm-hmm, the synergy, and it's always good, but it's always also better when you have guests too, you know?
Yeah.
Just a different balance.
How was your week? No overtime this week, right?
No overtime this week. I had other priorities to do, like salute to Jake from State Farm, you know? Our old fact checker. He is part of the Reno Young Business Network here in town, and they had their nonprofit night, and they had it at the Automobile Museum, and I was the photographer, and it was just good seeing everyone get there and connect and try to do different things to help out different nonprofits around the city.
Nice.
So that was good. And then Thursday, I got a call from, you know, Ryan, if I wanted to shoot some more photos for the Biggest Little fashion truck. Every last Thursday of the month at the Alpine, they have like a little get together, a bunch of, you know, women and their businesses, women owned businesses in the Alpine. So it's a really big space. There was like a little Volkswagen.
I saw the picture. That was
pretty tight. Yeah. And there was just a lot of people there. And it's good to see the community of women get together and support each other, you know? Just, you know, like we all should be doing with each other. Women, guys, you know, it doesn't matter what color. But it's always good to see people like that come together.
Nice.
And it was fantastic. It was fun. Ryan was DJing, you know, playing the cuts like usual. And, you know, I'm just, you know, cruising around, shooting some photos. And it was a good time for a couple hours. So it's every last Thursday of the month.
A salute to DJ Ryan, because he was kind of the connect for that show with Rob and Bamboo and all of them that came up here from Vegas.
Yeah, exact connection to the Alpine and stuff. But we're all, you know, old men trying to, you know, do our thing still.
Exactly.
So, how was your week?
It was good. You know, things are slowing down. The school year's almost over. Starting to, like, plan out next school year. I had my training for my summer job up at UNR, so that was cool. Like, went over how the class is going to look, and I have like a teaching assistant, and it's cool because she's in college right now to be a teacher, so that's cool. And then one of the other guys I'm working with just graduated, and he has like his own media company, so it's good.
Ooh,
to make that connection.
Nice.
Yeah, and Upward Bound, you know, it's just cool because like it targets, you know, kids who are first generation college students, so hopefully, and I like, they put me on the group that have kids from Hug in North Valley, so hopefully I have some former students in my class, so that'll be cool. And you know, just looking forward to the end of the year and summertime.
How many former students do you see on a weekly basis?
I mean, during COVID it's been slow,
but on a regular,
but normally like I don't know, once, like a couple times a month. You know, and sometimes a lot, just
depending on the events and stuff.
Where, you know, how much I'm out and about, and yeah, it's like they hit me up on the internet all the time. Like this girl, a former student, she hit me up like to interview me for some project she was doing for school last week. So that was cool.
Yeah, no, like it's always good because you always bring it up because you've been teaching for so long now that, you know, these kids are young adults, and
they always go, "Do you, like, I don't know if you'll remember me." And I'm like,
course I do.
Yeah, like I remember you. Yeah. I mean, like I accepted your friend request on social media, but you know, it's different. Yeah, yeah. Because they probably accept any request because they're young, but
they just want more clout.
Exactly. But let's move on and introduce our guests. We're back this week with two esteemed guests who are, we were playing, you know, the intro song, and you know, said it's superhero music, and these two gentlemen are superheroes within our community.
Yes, yes.
Like to see what they're doing. Known Don for a little bit longer, just met Romar, but welcome the gentleman from Black Wall Street, Reno, Don and Romar.
Welcome, guys.
Appreciate Thank you for having you. Us. Appreciate Thank you. You.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So we're going to dive right into, we have a question of the week, and this one, because it's been a controversy lately,
ooh,
and it's been out there, and people have been talking about it. So this week's question, is America a racist country?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
It's not sugar-coated, without a doubt. You know, we all know what this nation was built on, founded upon.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, you know, people have to debate this still, it's like, my question's always like, all right, if you say no, when did it stop being a racist country?
Right.
Tell me the year.
Like, yeah.
What was that date? Did we celebrate it, or was there a ceremony when it ended? Because
it's a lot of delusional people out there as well, though.
Yeah.
Figured you guys would have a similar answer to how we felt, mm-hmm. But people were like mad because Kamala Harris said something about it, or Biden, someone's like racist. And then they had to like defend it, like, okay, like
that's when you know the state is strong, you know, just still holding
power to the people. Yeah, you know? The people are waking up.
You know, it's just people need to do other things other than, you know, what the government usually tells you sometimes. Yeah. You know, because also for the longest time there never have been UFOs, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Until all of a sudden, boom, magically they appear.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was no one.
I've seen Independence Day. I've seen Will knock one out.
But speaking of power to the people, just right off the bat, tell the people, what is Black Wall Street Reno?
Black Wall Street Reno is a blueprint of what Black Wall Street was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And what we're doing here in Black Wall Street Reno is building leaders. They gave us the blueprint. We're going to build leaders here. We host in financial classes, real estate classes, parenting classes, peer support classes, stop the bleed classes. The list goes on. And we are the superheroes that's not hitting on TV. You can come see us in real life at 351 South Wales and participate. You know?
Superheroes out in the streets.
Yeah, yeah. Boots to the ground. The
grassroots, you know, that solid foundation.
How did the concept come up? Like, what inspired you guys to start this?
Well, we came together with, he was already doing some community outreach. Me, myself, I was, you know, involved in a couple little projects I was working on. At the same time, I was collecting a lot of books. We came together with a couple little business meetings, kind of seeing that, you know, it was time to take initiative on something. And we came together with a plan and made it happen. Black Wall Street, there it was. Like you said, didn't have to reinvent the wheel. You know what I mean? Just try to get back to what was already established.
You guys make it sound so simple. Like, I'm sure it wasn't that easy.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are just like, oh, we thought this like, up, have and a, boom, it happened. I'm sure there was some struggle.
Have a couple coffees.
That's like, what, you know, we want to hear, because, you know, people
need to know it
get intimidated by, you know, you guys are doing a lot, and people just need to know that it's not impossible. So
walk
us through that process. How did it go? What are some of the challenges you had to overcome in doing this?
I like it because he just said, hey, you know what, I just rented a building. Say less. You know, when you say you're doing something and it's in motion, we wasn't sitting there talking about it. Something sparked the flame in him when somebody said, you know what, I'm tired of talking about it. And that initiated him to say, you know what, you won't belittle me like this no more.
Yeah.
Next time you see me, it's gonna be done. And that set the wave in motion. So I jumped on his wave and we just came together like, hey, let's do it. And it has been nonstop ever since. Everything we have a meeting, let's do this.
Yes.
Let's fill the calendar up. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't filled. So my biggest, go do it. Like Nike, you know, don't watch it. Go do it. Yeah. You know, go do it.
For real.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was at a time, you know, where everybody was marching, the Black Lives Matter, you know, type of movement. Mm-hmm. And we know our life matter. You know what I mean? We ain't got to prove nothing to nobody except to ourselves. So at that point in time, it was a way to kind of channel the energy and do something positive and constructive. Wasn't really with the marching and protesting and all that, even though that is needed.
Yeah.
But everybody got a position to play. So we kind of took the initiative on building. You know what I mean? Got to
get in where you fit in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I like that. Yeah. It's what's needed. You know, the people, it's hard to see and be like, what can I do as a person? And sometimes it just starts with deciding to do something.
Right.
You guys are helping to promote that. So what is your guys' background? How'd you guys meet?
At the gym, crossing paths. I see him in his little zone at the gym, as well as I'm trying to get myself together. And at that point in time, I was doing like this little MLM, little traveling company thing. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to him to come check out what we had going on, and kind of went from there. You know what I mean? That's where we started at.
Mm-hmm. Mine's is that I had just gotten becoming sober. I just celebrated 4 years on May 21st.
Congratulations.
And before that, I was just an addict, a criminal, actually, you know, and that's what I was doing. I walked around this earth for 23 years out of 41 trying to find my purpose. And my transformation coming out of that coma of addiction led me to the gym where I met this young man, and he did invite me to a couple of business meetings. And at that time, I was doing New Generation Dare, which brings the awareness of youth addiction and homelessness and poetry at the Highland Project, where I met this young man right here. And then everything just started coming into a snowball, and like just started going with it. You know, God started opening the doors and started walking through them.
Yeah, I remember you sharing your poems and just to see how far you've come. I mean, it's crazy, you know. Yeah. Like, you're just seeing you out, there, you know, coming and coming to the open mics and sharing your journey and your struggle then to what you guys have what you've accomplished since then. You know, it has to give you a sense of pride and just
it does
give you
it
confidence does. Moving forward.
Yeah, yeah, it opens doors and it brought me among kings. You know, like. I couldn't, if you would have told me this 7 years ago, I wouldn't have believed it. Like, nah, I don't think so. I don't think nobody going to look up to me or I'm going to look up to them. So I was just attracted in addiction, and that's where I see our youth at right now. And that's where I'm trying to come and unite with like-minded people and stop what we seeing out here. And that's the overdosing, the suicides, and just out not having a purpose.
You know, that's been a lot in the news lately with the city, especially with the campus they're opening up for homelessness. How have you, I know you've been trying to get certain voices heard. How's that been, just getting more involved and trying to help out these people who don't have a voice?
Well, I see it from both sides, because I work with outreach throughout the city, and I try to help these people get into well care, other facility, behavior health, or even help them with the housing and getting whatever they need. I do, but I also see it that it's like sweeping the problem up under the rug. I went to go view the CARES campus. I don't care too much for how the setting is. It's like there's no structure there yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I still see some people that's camped outside of the building, like they don't want to lose their possessions. So we still have a lot of work to do, because we got to help these people find a sense of purpose right now. We're not dealing with lost people. We're dealing with lost souls, and some people sold their souls. So we got to go to the pawn shop and buy their souls back, give it to them, and tell them what.
And level it up.
Yeah. We got to pay some of these debts back to society. You know, We got to start with our people.
Yeah, and, like, I just see it all the time, and, like, you know, like, and I work for, like, the community and stuff like that as well, and it's just, like, a lot of just being swept under the rug. They try to hide it from all these tech and investor people coming into town, but it's something that needs to be, if we take care of it and help our people, we'll grow as a community.
Yeah.
And it'll be even stronger and better.
And you see it, Caesar, from the side of, like, what's out there for official assistance, and, you know, it's... hearing the stories of people trying to get help and there's just not,
it's not enough, or it's super hard to like get through these barriers, you know, and there shouldn't be this much of a struggle, or, you know, because there's a thin line between, there's some people that they work hard and stuff like that, and they're still underneath the poverty line.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how hard they work, no matter how much jobs they get, but they're still underneath. But then when they get services, they're not working. They're more with their family and still under that same poverty line.
So yeah, there's no escape.
There's no escape.
Mm-hmm. I seen a person, we get housing. We walked into the housing. Mm-hmm. He's had a tent built up in there. Like, you got a room. But yeah. It's just like, okay, you didn't take me off this river. I've been there for 4 years. You put me in a room. I don't know what to do now. Yeah. And then everybody mm-hmm. I know is still out there. So it's like, we got to rewire the mind a lot, mm-hmm. you know.
Because, like, being out there in the street, it just takes an effect on the mind, on the soul.
Survival and, mode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a different mentality. When you give them a little bit, they're lost
mm-hmm.
because they don't know anything else sometimes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And, the way people – the thing that's crazy to me is the way people look at those people. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not human. Like, when I taught at my old school, I did a whole thing on poverty and then a whole subsection just on homelessness and just seeing – because I think you got to teach people young that those people are people too. It's not just you don't walk by them and just
ignore them.
Yeah, their existence. And I think it's so easy to do that. And it's a constant struggle not to, because it's a reminder of how unfair mm-hmm. our society is. But we got to be honest. And like, that was what I would show them a documentary and just show like interviews with actual people who are on the street, because they need to see that and see that. You know, those people aren't, they're just regular people like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like they're bad or like, I think people try and make it seem like they deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's.
And it's like their fault or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because they don't want to take, you know, a little bit of responsibility for it. And, mm-hmm. and they have to vote, you know, for people who are going to make real change and support these people.
I think mm-hmm. by the time everything is built up, it's going to be too late. It's happening right in front of us, you know, the regentrification, everything, the moving of the people. It's just either you conform or you get swept out the way. And by the time all these buildings are erect and they remodel all the Harris and everything, the people that are still at that bottom, they're going to have so much to come back up to, and it's going to be so hard.
It is.
Yeah, it's hard right now, and I'm at an all right position in life, and I'm like, okay, you raise the rent another $100.
Yeah.
I might have to pitch a tent, you know, so.
No, and like in San Francisco, an example where like, especially with all the gentrification and the rising rent and stuff, people were still having jobs but were homeless mm-hmm. because they couldn't afford it. And it was nothing. They tried their best and they just couldn't afford to live in that city anymore. Then they didn't have money.
Car, right.
Yeah,
right.
People living in their cars because, you know, they still work and everything. They just can't afford. And that's just someone, you know, this isn't a new problem in Reno, and it's getting only getting worse and worse and worse, where it's, you had all these places where these people were living and they're gone. Like, what do you expect to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're not building anything or they're not replacing these places. Man, with
Reno has a lot of resources. Reno does have a lot of resources.
It's just how you choose to use them.
Yes.
Right.
We're not choosing to use them in the correct way and allocating them to the people who need it most. Like you know, every time one of these developments or something downtown happens and people are mm-hmm. celebrating it, and I'm like, who is this benefiting?
Mm-hmm. Like, I think the mental health part really has to be addressed, and that definitely is really overlooked. You know, you got 22-year-olds that's really out there just on a different energy vibration talking to themselves. Like, I hope it's God you're talking to. I don't knock what you're doing, but you know what I mean? Who you answering to? But it's just that I'm out there every day. Like, I'm not just, hey, I'm out there once a month and look good for the cameras. I'm out there every day helping these people. I go find the ones that need help. They don't come to me, you know? So it's like, okay. But at the same time, I have to look at it from both sides. When you ask a group of 20 people, which one do you really want to help? Maybe one out of that 20, but we still stuck in that addiction part. Mm-hmm. We still battling with something. It's not that we don't want it. We just don't know how to get it,
mm-hmm.
you know? So
it's not a simple problem to solve, but I think doing these like bare minimum things and then like patting each other on the back, like you solved them, does not help.
It's Band-Aid on a broke leg. Mm-hmm. It really is. It really is.
And it just, you know, I constantly see these people celebrating this stuff and touting how much money is being spent, but I'm like, what impact are you really having?
Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's not being allocated to the people.
that need it. Yeah, because it's just like, even the average person in Reno is having a really tough time. Mm-hmm. That isn't like, you know, coming from another state because of work or anything like that. But the average blue collar people from here, it's a struggle to even, you know, make rent, to like get a new place or anything like that.
And just imagine, so this is what I see a lot, is that these people are living off of $700 a month.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's almost a little, I make more than that just on one of my paychecks, you know what I mean? So it's like, how are you actually living on your Social Security like this? So now you got to take two people that don't want to be with each other, that's still struggling with addiction.
And put them together.
And try to hopefully make sure that they can make it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why you see what you see.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And they'd rather take that little $700 and keep their pocket instead of pay some rent to keep something over their head. Yep. You know what I mean?
Like you said, once you're in that survival mode, you got to make those sacrifices, or just those decisions. It's like, what's going to get you through your existence? You know, like, you're going to live in an empty apartment and be miserable. And
with no food?
Like no hope. Like, it's just... It's in, you know, the saddest thing is people, this is like, there's kids, like I have students that are living like this, that are homeless or just, and you see, it's like, what chance do they have? You know, it's like hopelessness when they're, you know, 13 or 14 and they're living out of a car because their parents lost their job or something. Like, what is that kid's future look, you know, what, how much future does that kid really have? Because there's only so much, like, we can do when they, you know, they're not worried about coming to school every day. And even if they do manage to get there, they're not focused on learning, you know, like, they're still in that survival mode.
Right.
The clothes may be dirty. That's why I was speaking about trying to get some wash machines in there, you know what I mean, to the schools. Hey, some of them, you know, wash their clothes. Nobody wants to be the stinky kid in class, you know. So, and then I also look at what we said as an example. I have never seen so many people walking around with looking just for a charger or a boom box, and that is their daily life, just on a bike with a loudspeaker.
Listen to music.
Yeah, like, you're not doing nothing but looking for a phone and a charger or a food and a charger. Yeah. Like, where are we losing our children at? And while we, it has to start at home. And then once you get to the streets, this is what I see. Mm-hmm. The bus stop, Tent City, you got 22-year-olds. I'm like, you know, where
probably
is it?
Even younger.
It's younger. And I'm like, what happened? Where are we losing? Mm-hmm. Man, Reno's not that big for you to lose a child.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like, this problem, if you know, for how small Reno is, it's such a huge problem. And if we don't do something now, it's going to end up like L.A. or San Francisco, where you just have, you know,
blocks dedicated to them.
Blocks of just people who society has forgotten living, you know, like no person should have to.
And I feel like the average person who doesn't recognize that portion of society as people, they're like, oh, why don't they just like pull themselves up by them by their bootstraps? But at the same time, there's obstacles in the way that keep you from pulling yourself out, you know, like mental health is one, like that's a big one. And like you said, with Social Security only giving like $771, like that's not even a studio rent anywhere in town, you know?
Like, even if you do get a job and you're, you know, you're making $10 an hour, you can't afford, where can you even live in this city where you can afford that? And $10 an hour is more than minimum wage.
You can't even take a girl out with that, because you know that's like 8 hours. And you that's a whole day work you just spent.
Because like, no, even now I like to look at like a McDonald's pricing, you know? So even to get like a number one regular, it's like $10 now, you know? And that's 1 hour of your work to feed yourself for a portion of the day.
It's just, it's crazy. Look, we could talk about this a long time. Let's talk about something more positive. Talk about the programming you guys have and the program you guys do. Because, I was looking, I've seen it, you know, on social media. I've seen you guys on the news, on the radio, on the website, all these different classes you're offering, different community outreach things where you're at the park giving away stuff. Talk about these outreach programs and classes you guys are offering.
Really, it's the community support, you know, they see we trying to do something and they're reaching out, you know, seeing how can they help, how can they host a class, you know, whatever skill they have, they want to share it. If it's not, you know, a money donation or, you know, some snacks and food donation. They're trying to donate their time, you know, and that's more valuable than anything. Mm-hmm. So to be able to pass on skills and trades, it's beautiful. It's community empowerment, and that's what it's about.
Each one teach one.
And we like that it's young people that just getting their certificate in school, and they want to, this is your practice arena. Come over here
Pretty much, build
up your skill, you know, and it's free. Well, we do take donations to keep the lights on, but you get to give knowledge back to the people that needs it. Because I'm 30, when I got sober, 37 years old, I didn't know anything about credit cards. My credit was the liquor man, the dope man. That's how I had my credit. Yeah. I didn't know anything. I'm still learning. So when I'm in classes, they're still teaching me, you know, so... Yeah, it's good. We do backpack drives. Just try to spread the wealth, like Robin Hood of the nonprofit organizations. Yeah. Just, we get it. It's free, so what are we going to hold on to it for, you know?
Love to see it. Mm-hmm. Now, where are you guys from originally? Are you guys
I'm
from?
Born and raised in Reno.
All right, all right.
775 native. Yes, sir.
South Central Los Angeles for me.
Okay, and what brought you to Reno?
I ran out of places. My mom, my drug activity started at a young age. So I was going, my mom said, okay, we can't do this no more. So I went from auntie, uncle house into I was on the last block, in the last house on the block. And my cousin Tamil, she said, what about Job Corps? All right, let's go. I had no more options anywhere. I'm a high school dropout. Came out here to Job Corps, having a look back, you know, and it's not too fast, not too slow, you know, just my pace, the way I want it. And it taught me a lot, you know, it grew on me, you know, I became a man here. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how have you seen it change from when, you know, if you've born and raised here, you've been here a while, it must have changed a lot. What high school did you go to?
I went to HUG.
Okay.
You know, I went to Trainer Middle School. I went to Glenn Duncan Elementary.
I taught at Trainer for 8 years. That's my spot. That was my spot.
Yeah. That's what's up. Yeah, that's home plate.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing the gentrification take place, the prison, the pipeline in full mode. All the males in my family been to prison. I seen what the whole community has went through. There's more people in prison than in society. You know, from my section, the northeast side of Reno, I remember when Safeway used to be the grocery store, and now it's the Salvation Army, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's something I feel like when we first moved here, we went shopping in those shopping centers over there. Like, they had actual stores there. You had, like, the support. People could go get the things they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And you look over there now, and it's abandoned. Like, that entire neighborhood over there.
Right.
All those stores have closed up. I think there's, like, a Dollar Tree or something, and maybe a CVS. But there used to be a Lowe's over there. There used to be a Montgomery Ward over there. There was a Shopko. Like, all these stores where people went out. You could shop. Like, you didn't have to go. And, like, it's just, to me, that's just a reflection of...
Yeah.
Of you know, abandoning that section of our city, and then they're going to come back,
you know,
30 years later
after
everything's been, you know, cheapened and buy it up and try and kick those people out that have been
Grandma
living there the whole time.
Been sold,
no, because that's what's happening. Like right across from Paradise Park, right there, they have those new apartment complexes, you know, and they no more Montgomery Ward, Shopko. I remember those ones too, but now that it's dirt cheap. Like these investors are regentrifying that place. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a cycle. You just see it. It's already happened, so you already know how it's going to play out and everything. And just seeing, you know, that was the thing. Teaching at Trainers, you saw kids whose parents had grown up in the same thing, just poor. With no future, like it's a
generation later,
like it's a generational thing.
Trouble.
It's like their parents and grandparents. It's like once you reach to that second or third generation, like you don't know anything different. Like
that's the generational wealth that's passed down. The way we think land, it's not buildings. We passing around the struggle
the prison struggle. It becomes like that was the thing I would try and get these kids to see that their whole life was so like small in that just that neighborhood mm-hmm. and everything around them, and they don't know anything else, and their parents don't really know anything else. So at that point, it's so hard to get them to change that mentality and believe that you can just because you're here doesn't mean you have to be here. Like mm-hmm. It's hard to get that, and that's why the Upward Bound program I like, because it goes into those schools and it starts them in sixth grade, and it's mm-hmm. like you can go to college, here's what you need to do. And then they have people who have done it who are from there come back and they meet with these kids. They show them the tools and the how to navigate the processes of this is how you can get you a scholarship. This is what you need to do in seventh and eighth grade so that when you get to high school, mm-hmm. you can go on and better yourself. But, you know, there's only so many people they can reach because they're funding. Like you said, the money isn't there to you can't reach them all. And there's some mm-hmm. kids even by sixth, seventh grade that. You know, I would see, I can't.
You remember a couple years back when they was going to close that library?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where my little community engagement started, too, mm-hmm. being more aware. Went and spoke down to the city about mm-hmm. how, important that was. That was like a resource hub.
I mean, it's one of the few places some of those kids can get internet.
Right. Yeah. And Black Wall Street is kind of like a duplication mm-hmm. of that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know, we always say, if you want to make, your community better, it's not that hard. It just takes
initiative. Right.
It is.
And people always, think big and they're worried about things like outside of their control, but you can focus and make mm-hmm. a real difference. Just you yourself getting out there. And that's, we like to highlight. So we were glad mm-hmm. To have you guys to be able to join us and share your story. Through all this process, what have you guys learned about the community of Reno and what's out there?
I've learned personally that there are a lot of Black organizations out there, but not doing what Black Wall Street is doing, as far as trying to bridge that gap and give back. I think that our biggest community is in the churches. I think that those scriptures you learn in those pulpits come and show them in life. We don't need to hear another sermon. We need to see one walked out. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what Black Wall Street is doing. We don't just sit back and talk. Now, I'm not knocking the churches. Don't tweet that. Don't do that.
Don't put me on blast.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is get out of those churches and come start and be those leaders. You know what I mean? I feel those mm-hmm. churches keep you right there where they need to keep you. They don't want you to think no further than, hey, this man coming to save you. No, you need to come save yourself right now and come out here and teach your kids what need to be taught.
Yeah, so at church, they teach you the moralities.
And
then you just got to put those moralities that practice. You thought to work out there in the community, not just in your household. Households, like you said, it starts first in the household.
Yeah,
and then from there, you step out of your house and help your fellow man.
Yeah, because I believe a lot of people that's in mm-hmm. churches, they feel, I didn't sin. They cholesterol is up. They ain't fasted. They ain't thinking right because they think this punishing God is going, no, it ain't like that, man. Are God. You are the energy. Mm-hmm. Come out here and let's produce in our kids.
Yeah.
Give our kids the stability of learning and what they should be able to see.
And give them tools. That's the thing. The tools is a lot, especially in our community of, we don't have the right tools mm-hmm. to get us by our bootstraps and get out,
Yeah, people act like it's a lack of desire. Mm-hmm. It's a lack of know-how.
Right.
And you just gotta, you guys are out there giving them the tool. Everyone wants to help them. Everyone takes pride and wants to help themselves and mm-hmm. stand up on their own two feet. A lot of things I would see with the school we would offer, the people were too proud to take the assistance. Mm-hmm. So you just got to give them the tools so they can do for themselves what they mm-hmm. want to do. And mm-hmm. most of the time people, will accept that and end up doing something.
Right. Because, mm-hmm. that survival mode and also that scarcity mind state, it kind of, holds you back from taking that next step forward or that leap of faith. But, that's when it's time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys for coming on. I think we're going to take our first break.
Yes.
Caesar's got to play a song of the week. Caesar, what is your song of the week? It makes me chuckle.
It's this group from New York, and it's called No Panty, but it's put together by Joel Ortiz, Bodega Bams, and Nitty Scott. Mm-hmm. And I've been listening to this album again, like I showed it to my brother and his friend, and just heavy on the bars, heavy on the lyrics. And this song is Hola by No Panty. So listen and enjoy. Salud. Yo.
I'm in that new whip inside Coca. Hop up out that pretty motherfucker like hola, hola, hola. Niggas can't fuck with me, bye. Yo, pleased to meet you. How you doing? Let's get this shit started. I've been faced with obstacles my whole life. Hit the target. I pray to God. I'm always asking God, why don't you answer? I live in sin. I love a stripper. She my private dancer. They only see the celebrations. Keep in mind their struggles. Watch the players on your team. Look at their face and huddles. They hit my plate. I was stuck between a rock and hard place. Bam, bam. My father's name is Barney Rubble. Went to Barney's cause my shorty got the 50 discount. She worked for corporate fuckers. Still selling work at this bitch house. Of course I'm mad. The Knicks ain't winning chips in 7-3. Of course you mad. Your baby mother wanna fuck with me. I got some anger issues, only pussy calm me down. I'm from the east side, Spanish Harlem's only golden child. I'm only into fast money, that's low hustle trash. I see my lawyer once a month and bring that duffel bag. These rappers frauds, when you see them, it's the hugs and fives. Been playing 2K since 2000, now y'all changing lives. Asking how the fuck this Latin rapping like no other. That poppy spitting, rid it, fill it, real up, worth the mother. I don't need your validations or your top 10 rap picks. I don't need the freshman cover class to make a classic. Fuck the votes, I don't parlay with the politicians. My parolees, all the homies coming out the prison. Fuck the system, they designed a plan for me to fail. And while we wait for the second coming, I'm raising hell. Nigga, I'm raising hell. Yo, 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 I'm in that new whip inside Coca. Hop about that pretty motherfucker like hola, 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 hola. Yo, say hi to a boss bitch. Boss bitch, say hi to a boss bitch. Boss bitch, say hi to a boss bitch. Boss bitch, say hi to a boss bitch.
Yeah, I know what it is. If you don't, put on your seatbelt. Fat Latin rapper, you spazzing, but you gon' need help. Labels try label a nigga, you know how we felt. They don't see the sandwich, but they'll show up when the cheese melt. Dab nabbit, I'm back at it, a crack habit. Land vocals on the top floor like a rap addict. I knew I'd run this shit. I bought a track jacket, black maxes, and a starter pistol. Let it clap, lapping everybody like Michael Phelps after a dab package. Took him to school and rocked. Yeah, I Jack Blacked it. Thought I was joking when y'all laughed at it. Man, I was dead serious. Now my competition attracts maggots. When my city ain't fitting, who brought it back snapping? I put New York on my back, Yankee cap backwards. Always showed up, show enough, I'm the last dragon. Stacking cats in bags while y'all was cat stacking. This is God's work and hard work. When that pen in my hand is Henny and Cran. Ball work. When I converse, it's an all-star converse. Tailored to make niggas chuck deuces and long hurts. Sorry won't fly. Can't spell apologize without looking at an appalled OG before your eyes. They say business is business, can't take it personal. What if you made it your business to take it personal? All of y'all can get it, this business ain't one personal. 16's merciful, God forbid a 32. 64's war, sword 1-4 surgical. Anymore, have your core fans search earth for you. See, my name got way more than respect on it. It got fear on it, not even the best warning. So come for me like a bench warrant. I warrant the bench for you, have you at the game but not dressed for it.
I'm in that new whip inside Coca. Hop about that pretty motherfucker like hola. Hola, 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 hola. Yo, say hi to a boss bitch. Boss bitch, say hi to a boss bitch. Boss bitch, say hi to a boss bitch. Boss bitch, say hi to a boss bitch. Yo,
I'm in the summer, vino stubble, we buttery. I cop trees, chop cheese when I fuck with the ox. Niggas think they wrote the book, but it's more like a pamphlet. Brujeria, I can heal up your soul or I snatch it. Sometimes I'm over your head, but nigga, I'ma get across like it's over your bed. I just get by and fuck with a don, and never really let these niggas know what I'm on. Cause he can go from Bobby to Pendejo, nigga, real quick. Now he calling me Perico, I don't feel shit. It was 40, made 120, that's a real flip. And I've been around the world without a deal, bitch. Cause my father chose a goddess from the East Side. She bumped Celia Cruz and Lisa Lisa. They went half on a kid, the Angelita. Dango little Spanglish, that's Afro-Latina. Rest in peace, abuela, never got to tell her. Hope you find your pleasure, know your life was a novella. Pulling on your rosary, praying that it get better. But I'ma do it mega, meet you in the Mecca. I got proof that little Buddha be the truth in this. Ludicrous, move, I'm moving with you, think it's lubinous. I'm cooler than Cool J, how I'm doing it. Well done, Peter Luger, shit, a nigga lucrative.
I'm in that new whip inside Coca. Hop about that pretty motherfucker like hola, 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 hola. Yo, say hi to a boss bitch. Boss bitch, say hi to a boss bitch. Boss bitch, say hi to a boss bitch. Boss bitch, say hi to a boss bitch.
Welcome back. That was Caesar's song of the week. It was Hola by No Panty.
Yeah, if you like bars, this is like Nitty Scott. She could hold her own with anyone out there. And then we got Joel Ortiz and Bodega Bams as well. Like, just East Coast powerhouse of heavy lyrics.
And bars, yeah.
And then obviously
I love that song. Like, we played it on the radio show before. And
they're all, you know, Latino or Afro-Latino descent. So obviously, you know, the whole album is like based on, you know, like the sounds and things like that of said cultures. So, yeah.
Well, Caesar, it's that time of the week.
World news.
It is world news, and we don't have too much to talk about today. The first thing, though, mm-hmm. you know, we've talked about this a lot for the last few months, but Senate Republicans blocked a bill to investigate the January 6th insurrection. After they, like, made a bunch of demands, and they gave in to all the demands, and then they were like, nope, we're not going to do
it. Still, no, yeah. Because there's something up, obviously.
I mean, they something don't want to investigate. Like, you know, they don't want to investigate themselves.
Yeah.
Like, that's
right. Yeah. You know?
It's like, they're like, oh, it's going to affect the election. The election's in, like, almost 2 years. What are you talking? Oh, what do you have to hide? I thought it was Antifa that did all this. Mm-hmm. So, like, wouldn't you want to find out?
Who are the culprits?
Who really did this? Yeah. No? Like... And the crazy thing was, is like that cop that you saw, like, leading them away and distracting them, like, he went to them and was like, we need to investigate this. I was there. You were there. And they, and like the mother of the police officer that died went and met with them, and they were like, nah, we don't want to find out what happened. It's so in the open, man.
Right.
Like, am I, like, it makes you think, like, am I crazy? Like, I see this, right? Like, we all see this.
But we don't have any power to really do anything, you know? Like,
eventually people are going to realize they got power.
Wasn't the lady that got killed enrolled in the Navy or something?
I think she had served or something. She was a
naval officer, huh?
Mm-hmm. You know, some of these people, our own Joey Gilbert from Nevada supposedly was there. Like, that just came out on the internet this week.
Wow.
Saw him, you know, video of him there. So, you know, like.
Inside job.
Sure. Yeah, and that guy's, you know, definitely a heavy Trump supporter.
They don't want to find out. Yeah, like. How deep down the rabbit hole does all this go?
Very deep. And people are like, oh, there's no conspiracy. It sounds like one to me, though.
I mean, if there's no conspiracy, what do you...
Like, what do you got to hide, you know? Like,
it's a psyop. It ain't even conspiracy. Yeah. Oh, it's just old psyop.
Then you got to hide it.
Yeah.
Speaking of this, so this was something I read about earlier this week. A study shows that most people determine whether they approve of an idea based on which side supported it. So they were in, like, Oklahoma, and they asked these people, do you support them building, like, a new train line that connected, like, two cities or something and made it easier for people to travel? Mm-hmm. And, like, 80% of the people said yes. But then when they said, do you approve of Biden's plan to do this thing, like, the people in support of it dropped by, like, 30%.
Oh, man.
Just because, like, they had Biden's name in front of it. And it just showed, and they were like, oh, there's all these other different examples of, so it just shows you, like, why people vote against their own interest. It's because they're not looking at the idea. They're just looking at who's made the idea. So if it's a terrible idea, but the person they like supports it, then they're going to say yes.
If it's a good idea,
but it's the person they're against says it, they're going to say no. And just, if it's a simple thing like, you know, why wouldn't they want, you know, they're like talked about the benefits of like this proposed connection. Like, of course, like who wouldn't want that? It's going to help businesses, make it easy to people to see their families and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as they just changed the wording of the question, you know, people's minds were changed. And it's just like, God damn.
It's just crazy to think how like Democrat and Republican, so on and so forth, are so ingrained in people's, you know, what they think their character is when it shouldn't be. Like, no.
Look at, like, yeah, that's why it's so important to get involved at the local level, because you see the impact and you just see like these people for people and not like the label that they have put on them. Hopefully. I don't know. Some of the people we got here locally ain't shit though, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, whatever. Right.
They got a cousin somewhere. You know, that helped them get the job.
Speaking of local failures. Nevada failed to pass a bill that would have outlawed the death penalty in the state despite people being in support of this and it being a huge thing that, I feel like most people want. And I just don't understand how they can't even get something simple like this passed.
Maybe because they put the Democrats support it at the beginning.
Maybe, you know, somebody's, some lobbies, you know, giving someone some money to say it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know.
Who knows?
It's just,
That's just weird words. It's still.
Maybe it's because, you know, most of the time people who get the death penalty don't look like the people who are deciding.
Right.
There you go.
Death penalty. It should be, yeah, targeted at a couple heinous crimes, but not, you know, necessarily a color.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just study after study has shown most of the people who get the death penalty are going to be black or brown, and they're definitely going to be poor. Like,
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I'm reading The New Jim Crow and just the things I'm learning about the criminal justice scene. Like,
that book is dope. I recommend that to whoever's listening. Get you a copy of that.
Because it's just, it's like, and this book's old. The crazy thing is, like, this book's like almost 10 years old now. So it's only got worse since then. Mm-hmm. And like most of the studies they're using were 10 years old then.
Right.
So like how much worse has it gotten?
Add a 25% on top of all that.
Yeah.
Like I have to read it like a little bit at a time because just, you know, I'm sitting there
so upset.
Getting so upset and mad. Like, yeah. All right. Like I'm going to take a little break from reading this because this is just like
crazy. Yeah, that was the first month we developed Black Wall Street. That was the first book I read. Yeah.
And it's crazy. They could get so smart in developing these weird wording and loopholes, but like they can't give money to the homeless.
That's the thing. The insidiousness of like these laws and stuff is what is just was crazy.
Michelle Alexander did a wonderful job on that book. She really did. She did a wonderful job.
She's someone you should definitely, if you don't know, check her out. That woman knows what's up. Like she knows her stuff. So yeah. Check out that book and man, come on, Nevada.
Yeah. And then this one is probably happening right now, but in Tulsa, the OG Black Wall Street, they are having like a pro-gun protest out there right now. Mm-hmm.
Pro-gun, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
Mm-hmm. I was just like, you know, it's pretty funny that you guys are here at the same time. So.
Yeah.
A little synergy.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, just black people pro-gun protest. So. Because I understand, yeah, like have one or two guns.
Self-defense.
Yeah, one or two, but nobody needs like an AR-15.
We've all seen Rosewood.
Yeah.
Right.
That movie gets me so mad all the time.
I saw what happened on January 6th, too. Like,
yeah.
It's not completely out of the realm that, you know, these people might get crazy and get some ideas in their head.
Yeah, I remember Rosewood as a kid. And since I was raised by my grandma, you know, to see that scene there.
Yes.
Be ready to go off.
No, that movie upsets me every time.
Right.
I try not to like watch it every now and then, not too often, because just like
funny thing about that movie is like watching that movie and then learning about it led me to learn about the Tulsa race riots when I was like, you know, whenever that, like I was like a teenager in high school or something. When did you first find out about I'm assuming you weren't taught about Black Wall Street in school. So did you guys first find out about it, learn about it?
It was a couple of years ago when I first learned about it. And then to know that it only had been revealed to the public like 1997 or something. So that's what really gravitated my interest to it and dig more on that on that topic.
It happened more than that, just there, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it happened around the world. Not around the world, but just in the United States. They
all over the place. Yeah.
Continues that just period, brought us down.
Yeah, that period of so-called Reconstruction was really the deconstruction of what the indigenous was building on. Yeah.
Every time you notice that, every time we start building something, something happens. Somebody look at a white woman and it's burnt down. You know, and it's always it's some white underplay. Woman.
It's down, you know, like... They're you know, right now they're trying to get this curriculum approved to teach about this stuff in schools, and everyone's against it. And I'm like, this is the problem. Like, because it's because they don't want to know. They don't want to admit that these things have been swept under the rug forever. Like, as long since they happened. And they don't want to acknowledge it because it makes people look bad. It makes people feel guilty.
I don't think it's that. I think once you start teaching about us, that means we become somebody. Once you start have to teach about us in class, that gives us a sense of purpose. we are somebody. They are somebody to speak about in class and give us a structure.
Yeah.
Yeah, just pull it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. Give us a structure. So now you have to talk. It's more than just Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. You have to speak about black people as in general.
I would do a whole unit on racism and teach these kids this stuff. And then, like, still have them saying wild shit like, oh, Martin Luther King Jr. free the slaves. And just, like, you know, like, I remember starting and just thinking, like, they don't learn any of this stuff. And just having to go through and just teach the basics. Like, every time I would teach something, it would just be like, oh, my God, they don't even know about this. Wow. So then I have to go back and be, like, talk, you know, and just breaking it down because no one wants to teach this stuff, and these kids are ignorant. You know, we grow up ignorant of our own history and what's happened in this country, and it hurts everyone. It hurts all of us.
But they don't know either. They don't really know.
That's what I mean. Like, it hurts. All of us are ignorant of it, and it hurts everyone because this country could be so much better, and everyone would benefit from it, not just people who look like us. Right. And we're all being held back because no one knows what could have happened or what people tried to do in the past. Like, if people were the stuff they were doing in 1870, imagine if that had been allowed to continue for the last 140. Where would we, you know, that's the thing. Like, where would we be if these things weren't burnt down, if these coalitions of people coming together weren't destroyed? And it's holding all of us back.
I had a white lady at work ask me, if you can go back in time and talk to anybody, would it be Abraham Lincoln? And I'm like, why would you associate me being with Abraham Lincoln? Because that's where you think my history started. You think we actually started as slaves. That's all they teach you here. Now, if you never would have told me we were slaves, I wouldn't even known it. You could have kept that a secret and never we would never know we were slaves. But this is where she think our history started. That's what she been taught in school her whole life, is that black people just been on the plantation, just all of a sudden got free, and they're here.
Right? And everything's fine.
Yeah, and they put up with what you go through.
And then Martin Luther King Jr. gave them all their rights. And Malcolm X said that they should have guns, and then they got killed. But racism
Underground ended.
And then racism ended.
Yeah. And we're all happy and joyous and still sing and dance.
And prosperous.
Yeah.
It's a cold illusion, boy. Yeah. It's a cold illusion.
Cold as ice. But that's the thing. They want to keep us ignorant. They want to keep us so we don't, you know, because with knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. And if we start working together as a community, like, we could definitely, you know,
that's what I always do some hurt. Tell my students, I'm like, I'm here trying to teach you to empower yourself so you can change the conditions you live in. And you're sitting here fighting with me about it. But I'm like, your ancestors were killed for trying to do the thing you are spitting on every single day. Like, they couldn't learn to read because they didn't want them to read because they wanted them to be ignorant. And then now that's a choice you're making freely. Like, they won if you're doing that. Like,
students act like learning is a punishment or something. It's like,
and they're just like, man, yesterday I was arguing with a student and he's just like, this is a waste of time. I don't need, a 15-year-old is like, I don't need to learn any of this. It doesn't matter. Like, why, you know, and I got to, like, first convince him that it matters. Second, convince him that he should learn it. And then third, convince him that it's useful and how it's useful before I can even start teaching them.
And where do we, and where are they getting this from? You
like,
know,
where's the steel? Yeah, like, where's like,
it's like, so, like, even if you're, like, in a poor neighborhood and stuff and you don't want to learn anything in school and you want to be, like, you know, your dope man, the person like they look up to, they at least have to know some math, right? You know?
You got
to
sell a point for point. You know,
point
you got
to
sell
point. Like, how many grams in an ounce? Like
you got to do some math. You got to do math when you pumping gas. When you wake up, look at the alarm clock, how many minutes, everything.
Pay your taxes. You know? Like, pay rent. Like,
how much prison time you going to get for selling that dope? It's all math.
You know? Because when they say, like, 6 to 20, 6 is if you're good, you know?
And you got to bring in that bottom number.
Yes.
It's so, it, you know,
like, you need your basics to even, and in schools now, it just feels like the basics are so, so low because, like you said, like, credit, nobody knows about credit, you know, like,
now they are, like, that's the thing, like, these things are slowly changing. But it's, when they've been, when they haven't been taught this stuff for so long, it's going to take a long time for these ideas and things to trickle through and everyone to learn them. Like, you know, they just started teaching about this stuff, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. Well, it's going to take another 10 to 20 years because it hasn't been taught for that long. So it's going to take at least that long
generation,
that, you know, those, that knowledge to take hold. So it's just, it's, but I, you know, the, that's the thing though. I've been teaching long enough to see, like, see students who, you know, came from nothing and then they've gone up, you know, they've gone to college. Now they're a teacher or whatever, and they're back in the community helping the, you know, where they came from and change those, you know, they're teaching in the school they went to, you know, reaching those kids, because that's what you need. They need to see an example of someone that looks like them.
Being that example.
And,
exactly.
And see the success so that they believe it. Like, oh, that person did it, I can do it. Like, that person's just that person. Like, they're not special. They're not really a superhero. They just made those hard decisions and grinded through it, and I can do it too. And now they're here to help me and show the way. So, you know, salute to you guys. We love.
That's what it's about, passing the baton.
No, and it's cool. I actually saw it. So the lady and I like to watch, like, the Chicago shows, like Chicago Fire, Chicago PD. And on the Chicago Fire, this guy's neighbor, they just moved in there, people of color, and like the battalion chief is black, and the kid loves fire trucks and stuff. So he goes to him, and as they're walking away, the father was like, thank you, like, to my, for my son to see a hero that's the same color of his skin.
And it does. It does take a lot. 80% of the teachers are what, white women? How can you teach a young black man or a young Hispanic male how to be a male figure? And then, you know, you kind of lose them in that elementary state. And by the time you get into high, junior high, you influence. You know, you got people, they call it peer pressure, but you allow somebody to control your thoughts, basically.
Because they don't know themselves, because they've never been shown, you know, anything, have any pride in themselves. And that's, it's so tough. That's what it just takes. You know, you got to go and show them. Like, you know, showing is seeing, and seeing is believing. People got to see it first. But let's talk about some sports real quick. Change. Lighter tone, but still
a little bit.
Still in the same vein, though. Like,
exactly. No,
this week
in
the NBA, like, fans are out of control. There's been
spitting.
Three separate instances this week in the NBA where fans crossed that line. And the way, like, so Ja Morant on the Grizzlies, his mom and dad were watching him play, and like two people had to be removed because they were harassing his mother and calling racial slurs and using vulgar language with them during the game. And they're just there watching their son. Like, people in the stands had to stand up and defend them and go get security because these guys were harassing them so much. And then Trae Young got spit on by someone, like, on the court while he was playing, while they're watching the game. And then Russell Westbrook, like, sprained his ankle, and when he was being helped to the locker room, someone threw, like, a thing of popcorn at him. And it's like, every time I see this, I always think, like, people just think they can act this way and nothing's going to happen. Like, to me, when they had the thing in Detroit where those they were fighting, I liked that. Like, those fans deserve to catch hands, in my opinion. Like, I love seeing, like, people think it's bad. Like, there's this baseball player, like, punched a fan who had hit him, like, when he was trying to. If any other situation, that's what would happen.
They allow it in hockey. I mean, why not change a couple rules?
That's where it goes back to. You know, like, look at the brightness of the people playing hockey compared to, like, what's going on. Like, you know, like, things. The look at the melanin, you know, ratio,
right.
And you know, you start seeing some of these things, and it's just. Yeah, like, this would never fly in some of these other sports because people would be allowed to go up there. You know, if I'm out there, someone spits on me when I'm playing, like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not even when I'm playing, you just spit on me.
Like, if I'm walking down the street and someone spits on me, like, no, first of all, like, no one would ever do that. Like, no one would disrespect you that much and just.
And it lands,
but just
on your
playing the
too?
Game though, like, you don't even have a personal connection to this person. Wow. Like,
why do you hate them so much? Like,
right.
Like, what is really going on? So, you know, the NBA is going to have to do something about this because it's been, you know, getting worse and worse, and this happens more often. Like, you're going to have another situation where someone runs up in the stands and
Yeah.
I can't feel bad. Like, people always want to say, you know, violence is always terrible, and sometimes you got to defend yourself.
Yeah, I met a world peace, son. They left him alone after he went over in the stands.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to mess with Meta for sure.
Like, I just, yeah, like those people were wilding, and you know, sometimes you need to be checked when you cross lines
because they don't know consequences for
what it is.
Because it's just like, okay, I'm paying to see you, so it's like, you know, it's just like they think they're better than you already because like you're in the stands, you're looking down at them, you know, this whole situational thing, how they're, you know, different, and they're paying their money, so they think they could do whatever.
Like,
they
I'm supposed to feel bad for the guy who got punched because he fucking did, like,
right?
No, zero time. Like,
and they know security's there, so they feel like a little blanket of security as well. But like, yeah, like if Westbrook hit any of us, he's a big man.
Yeah,
you know,
6'5", 220 pounds. Like,
yeah, like I wouldn't.
Night, night.
Yeah. Someone's gonna learn something today.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, yeah. And I guarantee you those people were like, you know, average height, you know, like 5'8", and overweight, you know, too much McDonald's.
They're not really looking to fight.
No.
Nah.
But in any other situation when you did that, you would be looking to fight.
Yes, exactly.
Cloud chasing.
I think, you know what, I put this on here. We already talked about
this TV show last week. Yeah, yeah.
So the next thing is our white mediocrity of the week. And this actually happened personally. I witnessed it. And it was right here in Reno. So this past Wednesday, we had Spoken Views had our first open mic since the pandemic started, and you know, in person. So it was good to see everyone. There was like 12 people. We were at capacity. It was great. But like a couple people got up there and were wilding out. So the first thing I noticed when I got there was this lady in the audience that had a Animal Lives Matter black mask on. In the same font as like Black Lives Matter, but it said Animal Lives Matter. So I was like, okay,
already,
like,
already
all right,
a
like,
suspect.
But like, yeah. I was like, I'm doing my poem, and like my poem, like I did two poems that were, you know, super pro black, and so I'm like, well, she's like at least gonna have to sit here and listen to my poem, so maybe she'll really like, hopefully, she, like if she is one of these All Lives Matter people, she's about to hear some shit. But so then, like, you know, she goes up there and. Then it gets said that she's a teacher in Truckee, and she's teaching social justice to her students, and they're teaching them poetry. And then her whole poem is about how, like, equating bigotry against minorities to, like, how animals are treated. And talking about, like, slaughterhouses and comparing, like, separating a calf from its mother to, like, separating immigrants at the border. And I was like, what the fuck is going on right now? Like, it was so crazy. And then she started talking about how eating meat is bad and, like, saying, like, you know, like, you got to be, you know, stop eating meat to be a good person. And I'm like, look. Like, I'm all for eating less meat, and, you know, it's probably it's healthier. But, like, the realest thing is, like, not everyone can afford to be vegetarian or vegan or, you know, like, has the wherewithal to live that lifestyle. And she's up here preaching this in a goddamn I was like, I had my mask on, but I was, like, laughing and chuckling to myself the whole time. Like, I leaned over and said something to my girlfriend. And, like, we were kind of chuckling, and, like, I had to wait till afterwards, like, all right, I'm going to see what everyone else thinks. And then, like, this other woman gets up there, and she's telling her poem, and, like, first, she's blonde and blue-eyed, okay? And she starts saying this poem about how she's Egyptian, and I'm like, okay. Like, well, I'm like, you know, like, there are blonde, blue-eyed people who are Egyptian.
We know what happened, you know, to her ancestors.
But then she's like, oh, like, her dad was Egyptian, and she talked about how she moved there, and I'm like, okay, like, this is odd, but not totally bad. And then she's like, I'm African-American. And I'm like, what? And she's like, well, I was born in Egypt, and Egypt's in Africa, so I'm actually African-American. And I'm like, what? How? There's some steps missing there.
I would say, let me see your identification. Let me see what you got on there.
So I'm just like, whoa, like, what? Like, you know, and it goes back, you know, the people are ignorant. Like, they don't know. So, but I'm like, like, I get paid to teach. I'm not about to do this
for free.
For free. I don't know these people, so I'm not going to say anything. So, I like chuckled to myself, kept it. And then, like, afterwards, like, went up to a couple people and was like, what the hell, man? Mm-hmm. And then on the Spoken Views, we have a group chat. I, like, said, like, how did you guys feel? And, you know, so Jesse reached out to me and was like, yeah, like, that was crazy. This other girl who I don't even know was like, that was super wild. Like, I can't believe. I'm like, good. Like, I'm glad I wasn't the only person that thought this was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they're there again, like, I might have to write a poem to kind of, like, school them up some things. And you know, like, because one time, you know, I was there and someone was talking, like, this very young girl was trying to lecture me about Black Lives Matter. So, you know, I had to write a whole poem kind of explaining things and then perform it next time for her to, you know, try to show her the errors in her way. So it was, I was like, man, this, and I'm like, this lady's a teacher. This is what she's teaching those kids. This is what they think social justice is. Animal right here. But, you know, in the, like, one of my friends was like, oh, that, you know, I just thought that was typical for, like, a white woman in her position to say. And I'm like, I know, but, like, we still can't let this shit slide.
Yeah,
right.
Like, you know, it's expected, but. So that was white mediocrity of the week because, goddamn.
Yeah.
Like, and especially, like, some of these other people, the stories, and, you know, they're talking about the things they've over. You know, you've been there. Like, people are giving very personal accounts of things they've overcome and things that have happened to them. And this one girl, a newer member, like, shared, some, like, a poem, and it was very powerful. Like, people were, you know, had tears in their eyes. And then you have someone go up after this like this, and it's just like, this, you know, these aren't, they're not on the same level here. Yeah. You know, we got to raise the bar up. So, I don't know.
I don't know what to tell those people.
Yeah. It's not my point to say, you know, to tell them. Like, I'm like, someone who knows them needs to say something. It's not my.
She sound like her pineal gland was calcified or something.
Gotta get that third eye open. It's not, and I'm not the one to do it.
Man. She was calcified.
But so. My song of the week this week. So, salutes to Sea Salt Brad.
Yeah.
He told me about this podcast starring Open Mic Eagle. And so what he does is each season he interviews someone in hip-hop. And the whole first season, like 12 episodes, he's interviewing Prince Paul. And he's talking about, like, how he got involved in Stetsasonic and then his work with, you know, I've only listened to like 4 or 5, but how he started working with De La Soul and some of these other people. So, you know, a lot of people probably haven't heard of Stetsasonic. So my song of the week this week is Talking All That Jazz by Stetsasonic because it's a jam and, it's so, you know, some of you need to know.
So yeah, listen and enjoy, guys. So then.
To get away with that, you criticize our method of how we make records. You said it wasn't art, so now we're gonna rip you apart. Stop, check it out, my man. This is the music of a hip-hop band. Jazz, well, you can call it that. But this jazz retains a new format. Point, well, you misjudged us. Speculated, created a fuss.
You've made the same mistake politicians have.
Talking all that jazz. Talk is cheap, but like beauty, talk is just in deep. And when you lie and you talk a lot,
people tell you to step off a lot. You see, you misunderstood. A sample just a tactic, a portion of my method, a tool.
In fact, it's
only of importance when I make it a priority.
And what we samples love are the majority.
But you a minority in terms of thought,
narrow-minded
and poorly taught about hip-hop and all the silly game to erase my music so no one can use it.
You step on us and we'll step on you.
Can't have your cake and eat it too.
Talking all that jazz.
up more jazz than proofing when you lie and address something you don't know.
It's so whack that it's bound to show.
When you lie about me and the band, we get angry. Whip out our pen, start writing again. And the things we write are always true, sucker. Let's get a grip, now we talking about you. Seems to me that you have a problem, so we can see what we can do to solve them.
Think rap is a fad, you must be mad. Cause we're so bad, we get respect you never had.
Tell the truth, James Brown was old. Tell Eric and Rock came out what I got sold.
Rap brings back old R&B, and if we would not, people could have forgotten.
We want to make this perfectly clear. We're talented and strong and have no fear
of those who choose to judge but lack pizzazz.
Talking all that jazz.
Now we're not trying to be a boss to you. We just want to get across to you
that if you're talking jazz, the situation is a no-win.
You might even get hurt, my friend.
Stetsasonic, the hip-hop band.
And like Sly and the Family Stone, we will stand
up for the music we live and play,
and for the song we sing today.
For now, let us set the record straight,
and later on we'll have a forum and a formal debate.
But it's important you remember, though,
what you reap is what you sow.
Talking all that jazz.
Talking all that jazz.
Talking all that jazz.
Welcome back, guys. That was Sean's Song of the Week, and it was Talking All That Jazz by Stetsasonic.
Yeah, like I said, been listening to Prince Paul on this podcast and just learning. I mean, I'm learning stuff that I didn't know, and obviously about, because this stuff, been like, from when I was born in 82, they were already making music, some of these guys. So just learning. It's a great podcast because they're so knowledgeable, and it's just taking you step by step through, kind of the evolution of hip hop, because it's starting off with Stetsasonic and then moving on into the early 90s and working with De La Soul, and with who they're meeting, and he talked about there was one on Gravediggas when he was working with RZA from Wu-Tang, and how he worked with GZA before that. So it's just crazy to see, how this history played out that affects us so much. Caesar and I obviously influenced heavily by this. And,
yes,
these guys were, 16, 17 when they started, making this music and, learning, just pushing forward the culture. And it's I highly recommend the podcast. It's called What Had Happened. It's on wherever you get your podcast, but with Open Mike Eagle and Prince Paul, the first and the second season, which I can't wait to get to, is LP. So from Run the Jewels. So Brad was telling me about that. So yeah, but let's move on to the meandering questions we got.
Yes.
So we call these meandering questions because we want we're not rapid fire. We want you guys to explain yourselves and share your wisdom and knowledge with the listeners out there. And some of these are serious, some of these are not, and just we want to hear your opinions.
Okay. So the first one, favorite restaurant in Reno?
I would have to say the little barbecue place, BJ's, right off of Victorian.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Sparks?
Sparks. They give you one napkin. That's how you know they take quality. And plus, I like to I like to go non-meat. And they veggie patties is fresh. They make it right then and there. So mine's would have to be the barbecue place, the BJ's right off of Victoria and Sparks.
Yeah, non-meats.
I'm gonna have to say that new barbecue spot, Fire and Smoke, on I think they moved to McCarran and Glendale.
Okay.
If you haven't been there, yeah, check that out.
All right.
Proportions is lovely.
McCarran and Glendale? Oh, yeah.
Fire and Smoke.
It used to be called something else, right? It used to be over on Clear Acre?
It used to be on Clear Acre, yeah.
That place is good, yeah. Every once in a while,
that's bomb.
I go get lunch there.
The brisket sandwich or the loaded potato. they holds it down. They holds it down.
Nice.
All right. Next question. What motivates each of you to improve your community?
Watching the young, the old, the middle age, and the state of mind that I see them in every day. I know that there's more that can be done, and until I can get reinforcements, I guess we all we got.
Mm. Seeing what the crack era did to my community, to my family, and seeing the after effects of that, and with no resources or help, you know, being allocated in the community, you know, this is why I do what I do.
Nice.
Yes, yeah.
When you need to recharge and relax, what is your go-to activity?
Mine's to be meditation, working out, but it's an overdue vacation that's needed.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, just, you know, just getting along by myself and thanking for the blessings first, because I came from up under a bridge, you know. I went through hell to get to where I'm at right now, and I pay all my respects to the person that got me here, the universe, whatever you want to call your higher power. Take it for what you want. Mm-hmm.
I would say at first it was music. It was writing music. That was my way of channeling my energy, somewhat of therapy and counseling for myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Writing music. Now at this point in time, a good book and a workout, that'll do it for me.
Nice.
You know what I mean? A good book and a workout.
All right. If you had $1 billion, what would you do?
I wish that question could be asked, if I can allow people to think a certain way, how can I help them think a certain way? Because money can't buy you knowledge. But building some buildings to put some philosophers and some teachers in, I guess I would build that. I would build something where something that attracts the kids, you know, not so much the schools, because schools are there. So it got to be a way of thinking. So I don't know what I would do with that.
Community centers or something
like
that?
Right. Yeah. Independent structure
for
the development of mankind.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that name.
Yeah.
Make that happen, somebody.
Yeah.
Put it out there in the universe.
Copyright. Yes, sir. Yes,
you
sir.
Speak it first.
That came from Black Wall Street.
Yeah. It's on wax. We got it. Let's see. Who is your favorite comedian and why?
Martin Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
I could, back when I watched TV, that show would be my show. I
Martin's
could imitate
so good.
Yeah, and just that he was in his gift.
Yeah.
He loved what he did, and so I say Martin Lawrence for me.
Nice.
I would have to say Cat Williams. You know what I mean? Because he's very intellectual, and he makes the truth sound funny, but you still feel it. Mm. You still feel it.
Nice.
Yeah, I love. So I have like his first three or four on DVD, his specials, because those.
That so dude good. Is raw, man.
He is so funny.
And he's telling the truth, and you feel it, but you got to be able to laugh at it. And that's kind of like a genius.
That's what came up to me, that the comedic geniuses are the ones that tell you the truth and make you laugh at it, even when it's not or shouldn't necessarily be funny.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And he's speaking from real life experiences, too, as well. Yeah, he's sharp.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
all right,
that's why they silenced him off for the air.
Last question. Because he was on Atlanta. That was the last thing I saw him on. He was great on that, where he played his uncle. Have you guys seen that?
The
man with the alligator.
Yeah, that was the alligator man.
That's the alligator man.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It was right before a shutdown. That was the last thing I seen him in. He was trying to make a little comeback.
Yeah.
Last question. We asked this to all of our guests. Do you have any self-care, personal products, or grooming routines you swear by or use, or tips to offer, because we're trying to get, you know, our fellow men out there to take better care of themselves, yes. or so any tips or anything you guys swear by or use to make sure you're looking and feeling right?
I do. I fast. I at least take a week out of just pure water. Just really just let my body give a break on eating, the intake of it, and intermittent diet as well. Just the intake on the body, that's all we got is that vessel that we're going to be here to make an impact.
Nice. Yeah, I would say proper eating, stay hydrated, put some cocoa butter on, you know, some good lotion.
It is dry.
Stay hydrated, it's yeah, because we in the high desert here in Reno, Nevada. People, so
I always joke with my students, like, hey, you guys got to start putting lotion on when you're young, so that when you get older, you still look good.
Right.
Your skin can't be, you know, it's dry out here.
Yeah.
You got to take care of your skin. That's like you said, you can't grow a new one. Like, it doesn't get those alligator arms and stuff. But yeah, that's the meandering question.
You guys made it
successfully
through.
Passed yeah. and made it through.
Appreciate you for having us. Yes.
Uh-huh. We have Hero of the Week this week.
Mm-hmm.
So our Hero of the Week is Simone Biles, the gymnast, arguably the greatest gymnast of all time. She was the first woman last week to land this super complicated thing on the vault it involved like three turns and multiple twists. Only two men who have ever done it, and she was the first woman, and she landed it in a competition on her first try perfectly.
Still breaking records, huh?
And the thing is like... And, like, I read this whole thing about the racism behind it, but, like, usually they're judged on the difficulty of this, but, like, that she's so good and so much better than everyone else that they, like, put the difficulty lower on this to discourage her from doing it because she would show up the rest of the competition and make everyone else look bad because she's so much better than them. And they were, like obviously, they were talking about how, like, whenever black people start playing a sport, they start making rules that kind of, like when they outlawed, they were talking about when they outlawed dunking in basketball or some of these other rules they made, and like this specifically in the gymnastics world, because it like people do it a certain way, and then she comes along and is doing something new that no one else can even do. They were like, they're penalizing her for her greatness, basically.
Mm-hmm. I mean, every law in the law library was basically made to, you know, penalize our greatness. So, hey.
Yep.
She's still out there shining. She still did it. She still won the competition, even though, like, obviously it's the hardest thing you could do, and it's rated lower than what these other girls were doing, and she still did it, and she still won. So, like, a salute to her.
Yes. Yeah, can't beat the genetics.
That drive.
Yes.
And then, Caesar, you have a fuckboy of the week.
This thing is crazy, actually. So, this recruiter for this, like, gaming company, he put on this thing, like, he sent a picture of all these girls. And is like, we could get their resume. And he's like, I will help you, like, with somebody to, like, flirt with these girls, right? Then, in the next thing, he's like, give me their resume, and I will help you drug them as well. And I was like, what is going on? And it's for, like, this gaming company. They didn't put his name out. It's a Chinese gaming company, and they gave, like, a...
Like, is this, like, an ad he's putting out?
It's not like an ad. It's like, so let's see here. Offer to drug his female coworkers in a call for applications, and they have this like chat that obviously their company could see and everything like that. And
who is he offering it to?
So online statement, a screenshot showed in this guy's name. He showed a recruiter at the gaming department. So at this big thing.
So he's like trying to hire people by saying, "Hey, I'll drug
my coworkers if you come to this company."
Whoa.
Yeah. But at first he was just like, I'll help you flirt with him. And then all of a sudden he's like, I kid.
This is wild.
Yes.
That's like super fuckboy shit.
Yeah. And he's like, give me your program resume. I will help you with your flirting. You know? And then he responded to his own post on the thing. He's like, give me resumes and I can help you drug them.
Bam.
Yeah.
I don't even know. That's leaving me speechless.
Dude, it's wild out there. It's dangerous.
Normally our fuckboys are less, I don't know.
Rapey.
Gotta watch that energy, man. It's a lot of weird energy going around, you know?
Yes. You gotta do like some jiu-jitsu to kind of avoid it.
Right.
Watch your six.
Well.
Yeah.
Last thing before we go, we have one last question for you guys. What do you want people to think of when they hear Black Wall Street Reno?
Leadership building of their kids, rescuing our kids. That way we don't have to go protest and march. We don't want to go do a GoFundMe to bury somebody. We want to do a GoFundMe to go send them to college, go play a sport, to live their lives. They shouldn't have to be
positive,
worried about.
Yeah, positive community impact. Yeah, positive and community
this
impact.
Sunday, we want to ask everybody to come out to 351 South Wales. We're doing a 100 balloon release in remembrance of the massacre of Black Wall Street.
Nice. At
Stewart Park this Sunday, the 30th.
So, tell everyone where they can find Black Wall Street, your websites, and if they want to support, how can they get in touch with you guys?
You can find us on Facebook at Black Wall Street Reno, as well as blackwallstreetreno.org. And you can find us at 351 South Wales, Suite 100, upstairs above the Tapatio Market. You know, come volunteer some time.
Some knowledge.
Come host a class. You're more than welcome. Let's get this community empowerment going. Power to the people.
Yes. Yep. Thank you guys for having us.
Yeah you guys Thanks have any other events here. you want to plug besides the thing on Sunday?
The museum.
Yeah, we have the Black Wall Street Museum at the Nevada Art Museum. It's up and open until June 28th. It's free to the public. You know, come check it out. Spread some awareness. Also, June 12th at Stewart Park. In community support of the Black Business Student Association at UNR, we're having a bake sale event for the community in which we're helping them with a community fridge project. So that's for the low incomes in the community, single parent houses that may need something. They can come get it from Black Wall Street out the community fridge, nice. You know, free of charge. It's all about community support and community empowerment.
Awesome.
Thank you guys again so much for joining us. Thank all you listeners out there, you know, get involved and make sure you check out at least check out their website and see what they're doing and see how you can help empower and better your community. And make sure you tune in every Friday night so you can listen to Caesar and I on 97.7 K-Wink, where we play nothing but the best in all things hip-hop.
Yeah, and don't forget to, you know, tell a friend to tell a friend about it.
Yeah, comment, like, subscribe.
Comment, all the good
share,
stuff.
Share, follow
smash
us.
Smash button. You know, subscribe. You know what the internet says.
You know, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. We out there.
We're all over the place.
Until next time, this is Sean saying peace, stay hydrated, and make sure to start putting some sunscreen on.
Yes. This is Della Photo. You know, respect each other out there in the street.
There you have it, hip hoppers and mark ass busters, baby mamas and 9 to 5ers. This is another fine ass edition of Up in the Mix with Captain Kulo, the Truth, and the Token White Guy. I just want y'all to know, last time I got blowed, Snickers bars was a nickel. This is a.k.a. Most Def, a.k.a. El Negro, a.k.a. Grumpy, a.k.a. Jamal after 2:15 a.m. saying peace and hair grease. Make sure you follow at www.upinthemix.live and Della Fotoreno. That's D-E-L-A-F-O-T-O-R-E-N-O. So until next time, stay black.